Well, good to see you all today. Some of you I haven't seen a little bit longer than others, maybe a few days, others a few weeks. But I'm glad to be here with you. And I'm looking at these scriptures we've heard today. I'm looking at how the lectionary falls. And yes, it's All Saints Day, but there's so many affirmations of who God is. There's so many affirmations today to hear. I don't know, have you been hearing all these affirmations of who God is, as if, I don't know, maybe we needed to be reminded, as if we needed to be reminded of who God is. And the All Saints Day thing, let me tell a little story about what that kind of, I'm seeing that for us today. My best man in my wedding, David Hamm, he is a pastor in New York City now. I'm very impressed. He's a pastor at Times Square Church in New York, a place we used to visit, you know, for a field trip. Now he's one of those guys that sits on stage with his suit. And David has a great gift of speaking and leading people. He spoke to our Bible school this week, and he was supposed to go to our Bible school that we attended together, Elam Bible Institute and college. I have to remember that and see now. And he couldn't because of, can you imagine this, COVID, limiting travel, limiting being together. Evidently, there's some exposure to COVID that had occurred, so people were being safe. And David spoke to their missions week, which I remember being in the chapel service with everyone else. Josh, you'd remember this, and Mary Crowder would remember this, Carissa would remember this, from Elam specifically. They bring in missionaries from all over the world and just tell you what God is doing in the earth. It's very exciting. I remember one missions week being so overwhelmed with it because you really had the feeling almost at the end of the week that if you're not a missionary, you ain't nothing. It almost felt like that. You know, it just felt like if you're not selling out to go to the extreme ends of the earth, you're not listening to God, and that's not what's being communicated, but you might catch that with your own insecurities. That's something I caught with my insecurity. I remember running downstairs and calling my mom up and going, I don't want to go to the nations. Not forever, at least. And we would talk through that. But David was communicating to the students of Elam Bible Institute and college, as well as the staff there this week through Zoom. And I talked to him this week. I said, what did you share about, bro, about missions? What did you share about missions? So I'm going to just borrow for a few seconds, a few minutes, his sermon that he gave them. He said, I talked about Acts 1 and how Acts 1, there's this great question going up from the disciples. Is this the time, Jesus? Is this the moment where you're going to take up your kingdom? You're going to do it. Like, is this the moment now? You've died. You've resurrected. What else could he be waiting for? Is this the moment where you're going to save us from ourselves, save us from this world, free us from Rome, free us from religion? And David said, and I was saying to them, we're asking that question again. Is this the time, God, when you'll save us from corona? Is this the time when you will fix our country? Is this the week? Is this the hour that you'll cure racism? And Jesus says to his disciples, the Father knows the time. And in a sense, you don't. So mind your own business. And your business is this. Wait upon me, because I'm going to send my spirit on you. And as I send my spirit on you, you're going to start living out as me in the earth. And that's how my kingdom comes. So I'm just saying to us today, it's All Saints Day. It's a day that we're still recognizing the Spirit's been poured out on us. And it's not a day to be looking for the leaders. Where are those other people, God, that are supposed to lead us into bringing in what you want to bring in, your kingdom of love, your kingdom that frees us from corona, from racism, from all the trappings of nationalism and all the isms that we find ourselves trapped by. It's a great day. It's a great day to acknowledge the Lord and to acknowledge that he pours out his Spirit on us and all, not just us and not them, all. There's a bit of that today in this passage that we're going to look at, Matthew 23. It's probably a passage, I know I was tempted to do something different because it's a tough passage. It's a tough passage, and I just need to turn off my iPad is going to sleep on me. I don't want it to do that. I want it to stay on. How do I do that, Josh? Do you remember? Settings. Just remembering because it keeps going to sleep. You won't embarrass me. You won't just turn the settings on. Yeah, as we're looking at these scriptures this morning, listening to these scriptures, there's already been several things for us to go. What do you mean by that, God? What do you mean by that? This is where we are, Matthew 23. Did you find it? Okay. I'll make it work. That's probably all it needs to be. Thank you, bro. So I'm going to read this passage, and we're going to do some reflection on it. Matthew 23, 1 through 12. This is picking up right where we left off last Sunday. It says, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples," That's key for us today. He's not just speaking to the crowds. He's speaking also to his disciples. He says this, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students, and call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Immediately, as I was reading this, and as we're reading it together, I feel like we need to be reminded of who this Jesus is. That Matthew, just if you all you had was the Gospel of Matthew, and whether you're reading today or in AD 90, if all you had was the book of Matthew, and you got to this point in Jesus' now sermon, some call it the sermon. This is the introduction to what's called the Sermon of the Seven Woes. As you get there, we need to remember Jesus' command that he's already given about loving your enemies. So he's not saying this without love for those who aren't there yet. He's not saying this scripture to denounce and slander and to hate and to somehow justify that by the behavior of that person. He's still the one who calls us to love our enemies. He says, and I'm going to read it, Matthew 5, verse 38. He says, "You've heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. If anyone wants you to sue and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, vote them out of office, run them away. No, 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 I'm sorry. I'll get back to the text. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil, come on, and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Those are as fresh as they ever could be. What do you mean, give what someone's asking from me? I'm supposed to defend my rights at all costs. That's the American spirit. I also want to remind us that we just heard, as recent as last week, Jesus' double love command, which is really the climax of all his teaching. The climax is, I'm going to read it. It says, Jesus silenced the Sadducees, and the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? This is Matthew 22, verse 36 now, going to verse 37. Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I'm bringing these up because Jesus has just done what looks like a condemnation of people in Matthew 23, condemning those who call themselves Father. Maybe the Catholic Church comes to your mind. Maybe calling church fathers father comes to your mind. Jesus also denounces, it sounds like he's denouncing anyone who would ever go by the word rabbi. So does that mean I shouldn't call Rabbi Sakal down at Temple Sinai? Should I not call her rabbi? Jesus just told me not to call anyone rabbi, else there be another rabbi than him. Another thing that we heard in this text, it's Matthew 23 text, is Jesus saying, don't be called instructors, for you only have one instructor. So that means I should unroll in seminary, and you guys should never do another dunamis, and cancel your Bible studies, and cancel telling anybody anything that you know. Is that what Jesus is telling us to do today? No, we need to remember that everything he's saying is birthed out of this heart of love and this heart of undoing this defensiveness and also undoing this false authority that we take up. A false authority that's not birthed in love. An authority that has more to do with us receiving the glory than us serving. As Jesus told them in verse 11 of Matthew 23, the greatest among you will be your servant. What we're hearing Jesus do in this chapter isn't giving us fire to burn down the Catholic Church or to be anti-Semitic or to be anti-authority on any level and be wild and the top of our own mountain at all times. No, he's calling us to meekness. He's calling us to mildness. He's calling us to see him as our instructor, to see him as our Messiah. Not that person that if you enroll in their course for $150, they're going to take you where you've never been before. that God who will take you where you haven't yet looked in your own life, which is possibly loving those people in front of me that I wish God would just promote me past. Could you promote me out of this church, God? Could you take, right? That's the internal prayer sometimes. Could you promote me out of my social circle into a better social circle? Could you take me out of this nation into Canada? Whatever it is, Jesus is speaking to them right where they are about hope, isn't he? It's a hopeful statement that he actually is Messiah to us in all places. God is our Father, even when we have no earthly father, even when we've had no spiritual director. He is our spiritual director. Even when we have no rabbi, no teacher that's smarter than you, he is the one who's smarter than we are at all times. This scripture we read today is not so much to the crowds as much as it's to the crowds and the disciples. It's to both. We need to hear it that way. It's a chance for us to really think about how we can align to God's heart. I want to say this line. I'm backing up a little bit. I wrote this down. I think this communicates it in a good way. Today's reading doesn't give us permission to speak about how awful our enemies are. It allows us, today's reading is Jesus speaking to us of how awful his enemies were then and how awful the enemies of Christ are still today. And often those enemies are us. Because while we say we follow him, we've yet to love our enemies. We're still tempted. Just about every breath that you have, you're tempted to be antichrist in some way. I'm not saying that to condemn us. I'm just saying that's kind of what we face. As we read can you not hear it when Jesus says, turn the other cheek. If someone hits you, offer the other one. I didn't earn this place in life, God, to offer my other cheek. I've earned the right to strike back, or I've earned the right to be offended. I think that's very much in our culture right now. It's about our rights. Everything's our rights. And maybe we voted or we're going to vote because we are at the top of our list concerned about our rights. I'm worried about that vote. I'm worried about what happens to our heart if we have voted that way. I think there's some criticism we should hear from Jesus about that, which is what we're reading today. I'm also reminded, and Krista, can you hand me that little book? There it is, yeah. I'm also reminded about Henry Nouwen. I've read this book again recently, and I know I've shared it with some of you. It's called In the Name of Jesus. Henry Nouwen was just about at the top of the peak with academics and worldly authority as a teacher of Christ. He was, I can't remember if it was Harvard or Yale, Harvard. He was at the summit of what people think of as being a public theologian. And Henry Nouwen didn't stop there in life. In fact, this book is somewhat of an eyewitness that he shares about him moving out of that place of kind of worldly religious authority into living in a community as still a priest, but among people who are mentally challenged. And as he lives with these people who have mental things to overcome, he doesn't get into any detail about that, but he says, they don't care that I have degrees. They don't care that I have a good word to share. He said, well, I'm sometimes struck by when I say something good, they say, I've already heard that. You said that before. It reminds me of, like, if you've ever street preached, have you ever been around somebody that really doesn't give a rip about what you might have earned or how much you've studied or what you know? He talks about in this book what happens to his soul as he lets go of how he even sees himself. He says, I'll just read a little bit from this. He said, I prayed to the Lord. Lord, show me where you want me to go and I'll follow you, but please be clear and unambiguous about it. Well, God was. In the person of Jean Vanier, the founder of the L'Arche communities for mentally handicapped people, God said, go and live among the poor in spirit and they will heal you. The call was so clear and distinct that I had no choice but to follow. So I moved from Harvard to L'Arche, from the best and the brightest, wanting to rule the world, to men and women who had few or no words and were considered at best marginal to the needs of society. It was a very hard and painful move, and I'm still in the process of making it. Listen to how he frames his life before living in this community. After 20 years of being free to go where I wanted and to discuss what I chose, the small, hidden life with people whose broken minds and bodies demand a strict daily routine in which words are the least requirement, does not immediately appear as the solution for my own spiritual burnout. And yet my new life at L'Arche is offering me new words to use in speaking about Christian leadership, because I found there are all the challenges that we are facing as ministers of the word. He goes on to share some of his reflections, and he finds out that he's been living out of his own relevance. And he's become aware of that because they don't care that he's relevant or not. They don't care. He also says that he finds himself walking out of the temptation to always be spectacular. That he was living in this space where he always needed to bring the wow me word. And then his last temptation that he really sees as he's looking at Jesus' own temptations was the temptation to be powerful. Somehow, if I'm not being powerful, I'm not living up to my call. I really recommend this book. It's a short read. It's really helpful in processing through some of that. Jesus is speaking to crowds and his disciples who are certainly cued, ready for power, ready for relevance, ready to be spectacular. I mean, isn't that how we become witnesses of God? Is through dazzling, through being miracle workers or being ones that just speak the right word every time? Jesus seems to be less concerned with that and more concerned with how we treat the least of these. Looking at this scripture, one thing really jumped out at me today. It's Matthew 23. Is this text he says about Father. And what I'm hearing for us in this today is he says in verse 9, and have no one call you Father on earth, for you have one Father, the one in heaven. When we have one Father in heaven, all of our division goes away. I'm not known by my political party. I'm not known by my church, or I'm not Church of the Second Baptist. I'm Church of the First Baptist. I'm not tempted to identify in anything less than our shared Father, who has the same heart for us. I am hopeful of the body of Christ today, that as we hear who our Father is, that there's, Jesus would say, seek your identity, not in your vote, not in what you want to see happen in the world as much as who your Father is. See the world through your Father's eyes. I'm hopeful of the church that as we do that, we can live through any adversity. I don't know if it's a surprise to some of you, but there's churches splitting right now because of masks. Wear a mask or don't wear a mask. There's churches splitting today because of political votes. As if that's what was on our sign. Church of the Democrats. Church of the third party. Whatever it is. No, we're the church of our Father. The church of the one Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is able to save. And his way is not a way that says you have to have the right charisma. You have to have the right competency. You've got to be loud. You've got to have a lot of people following you. No, he says it's about character. It's about knowing my heart, living out my heart. In Jesus's law, some people call it an upside down kingdom. What's up is what's down, right? The greatest among you is the servant among you. We're in a sifting time, shifting time. And there's a flipping of expectations in all kinds of ways. What I'd like for us to do for a few minutes here is, as we, the church, those gathered here today and those all over the world, look for our Lord's kingdom to be the kingdom of this earth, which is a high place. I think we're to go to the low place this morning. And if we could take a few minutes to pray. Pray for those, maybe it's me, maybe it's you, maybe it's some part of us that's still hanging hopes on earthly rabbis, earthly teachers, earthly fathers. Maybe we're identifying in that place. I do think votes matter, but not more than who our Father is. So don't mishear me. I do think it matters what we do with our political lives, what we do with our social lives, what we do with our family lives, all that does matter to God. But I think we're to go to a place today of serving, even if we could serve the nation that's so near and dear to us today by just praying for a few minutes. Not that we would have our way or that our candidate would have his or her way, but that Jesus would really have his way through his people. Us, people of God, people of one Father. And that from there, we would have a real celebration, no matter what happens on Tuesday. Could you imagine that? That we don't, doesn't matter what the votes come in, we're still excited because of what God's up to. Can we be shaken? Is there anything that could happen on Tuesday that could shake our confidence in God? I mean, we should probably say no right now before it happens. So let's just go to prayer for a few minutes. And if you're online with us, just go to prayer. We're going to pray in our room here out loud together. And this isn't necessarily a broadcast moment. It just is a church moment. If you're home, pray with us and I'll close, but maybe have several of you, three or four at least, maybe three or four. We'll just pray. As Jesus spoke to the crowds, We humble ourselves to you today, God, that you would be exalted. Be exalted, O God. Let's pray.